Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, Ted Ross at the controls. And speaking of lunch hour, Ted, just thinking maybe a little fresh salmon would be kind of good.
Oh, I love salmon. Smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. So,
I was thinking, I know you've talked to our guest today before about she's written a number of books, award-winning books, and one's on the spirituality of food, I think, right?
Leslie Leyland Fields.
Yes.
Wrote an article about that, I believe, and then we had her on right around Thanksgiving time some years ago. Timely.
So that would be good to talk about. And she actually, speaking of salmon, she actually knows a great deal about that in the salmon fishing operation that they actually live and do that every summer. In fact, she lives in Alaska and... gets even more remote in Alaska doing a summer. It's at the Harvester Island Wilderness Workshop where she does some writing workshops, but they also spend time there just fishing.
I'd love to visit there. It sounds like it's going to be a beautiful place, right?
I'd love to visit. Don't know if I'd really want to just
stay there and make a living out of
that. So, yeah.
Well, she's doing it for us, so we're thankful.
That's right. So we're going to get to today's guest in just a moment with Leslie Leyland Fields. And we're going to talk about not about the salmon business, although that might be interesting living in the Gulf of Alaska. But we're going to talk about forgiving our fathers and mothers. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? Why do we have to forgive at all? And how do we honor those who act dishonorably toward us, especially when those people are as influential as our parents? Can we ever break free from the sins of the fathers? Those are some of the questions we're going to get to today. It's based on a wonderful book from Leslie that came out here not too long ago, and we're just happy to have her on with us today. Leslie Leyland Fields, again, award-winning author, contributing editor for Christianity Today, national speaker, and sometimes commercial fisherwoman. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, thanks for having me on, Neil. I'm excited for this hour together.
This is a topic that I'm sure probably was not particularly easy to write about because it represented, you know, some of the personal challenges in your life and family as you sought to forgive a father that hadn't always been particularly gracious and loving. So I want to, I guess, you know, maybe to begin, when you started talking about this, you wrote about it, I'm wondering, were you surprised by the number of people that confided in you and said, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, or, you know, here's my story?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, I honestly, this is not a book I wanted to write. I just have to tell you that. I ran from this book for about 2 years. I was Jonah. I got a call, a pretty clear call from God to write this book, and I just didn't want to do it. But it came to the place where I knew I had to be obedient, and so I did. I just had to stop, and I had to face everything that I didn't really want to face. And, you know, that was actually a great encouragement to me that as people asked me, well, Leslie, what are you working on now? And I would say, well, I'm working on a book about forgiving our parents. And their eyes would go big and they would say, oh, man, I need that book. And that was a great encouragement to me. And I recognized really how universal this need is.
Well, the book title is called Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. The subtitle is Finding Freedom from Hurt and Hate. And I'm wondering, Leslie, is that just a wishful subtitle? Or, I mean, can you really find freedom from hurt and hate?
Yeah, I know. It's a big promise, isn't it? Finding freedom from hurt and hate. But I created that subtitle because it really is possible. And it's not possible because of us, because of us as human beings. It's possible because we serve a great, great God who himself offers us just incredible freedom. And this is the God who commands us to love our enemies, Neil. And can we love our enemies ourselves? No way. But God can do such a work in our heart that even if a parent has been so hurtful to us that we regard them as our enemy, it is still possible to forgive them and even to love them.
You know, to maybe just to set up our conversation, you can share as little or as much as you want about, you know, life experience growing up with your father and bring us up to the point where you felt like you need to pursue forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, growing up, I was part of a big family. There were six of us kids, and my father was very disengaged from us. He was often not even present. He was a traveling salesman, so he was gone a lot. But he was not a successful salesman, and so he would be fired, and pretty soon he couldn't get a job at all, so he was home a lot, and that's when things really got bad. He was just not able to form connections with people. He was not interested in us as children at all. And because he was either unwilling or unable to work, we were very poor. So our poverty was pretty devastating. But there was more too. My father was sexually abusing one of my siblings, and so there was just a lot of hurt. And there were several times when he took all the money that we had to live on, which is a very small amount, and just left, took off in his car and left, intending to leave us for good. So he abandoned us, abused us, and, you know, I think there are some listeners out there who can relate to that. It's certainly not a unique story.
But in a lot of ways, kids grow up in an environment you don't really know any different. So, I mean, at some point you probably realize that, you know, this isn't right or something's wrong here.
Yeah, it's really true that no matter how deep the dysfunction to a child, it's normal, even though it's hurtful and painful and they be crying a lot or, you know, have these deep emotional responses. Still, that's all they know. And the same for me as well. It wasn't until I left home at 17 that I began to get a perspective. And so when I left home, I had no relationship with my father, nor did I have any interest in having any relationship with him. And in fact, the older I got, and when I went on to marry and have children myself, the older I got, the madder I got, Neil, because it's like you begin to realize, oh, this is what fathers are for. Oh, this is what fathers are supposed to do. And you begin to realize more and more how little he had done and how really he had been a force for hurt and harm in our family rather than a force for good. So I had very little contact with my father. And really the turning point, the Lord just sort of grabbed me one day through a phone call with my sister, and this is now probably 8 years ago. And I was talking to my sister, and my sister is talking about our father. And I said, "You're talking to Dad?" She says, "Oh, yes. Yeah, I call him every week or two." And then she said, "Leslie, I've forgiven him." And the reason this was so stunning is that this is the one who my father had been abusing all of those years. And she was just a brand new baby Christian. And I thought, wait a minute, I've been a Christian most of my life. And this sister, my dear, wonderful sister, has forgiven my father. I haven't even thought about forgiving him. He was not even on my map. You know, he wasn't even in my sort of landscape. I didn't even care about him enough to even think about forgiving him. And that was the moment that the Lord used to just turn, to begin to turn my heart back toward him.
You, we'll We'll take a break, I think, now and come back and pick up the story, because you at one point were reading through the Lord's Prayer, which mm-hmm. is quite familiar to all of us, and there was a line that jumped out at you, and we probably all had that experience where we've been reading passages that we're well familiar with, and suddenly God seems to break through our thickness, our whatever it might be. So we're going to pick up the story in a moment and continue to go on discussing forgiveness. In fact, the title of our book that we're relating to today is called Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. It's from Leslie Leland Fields, and the subtitle is called Finding Freedom from Hurt and Hate. And I'm guessing that there are many listening today that absolutely need to hear what Leslie has to say and what she's written about. I do have a copy of the book that we'll give away. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour. If you'd like to just call in and sign up for that, be a part of that drawing, it would be a very healing and hopeful resource for you. If you'd like to call and maybe just to share a bit about your story or ask Leslie a question as we continue on the conversation, you're welcome to do that as well. We'd love to have you join in. It's 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Talking to Leslie Leland Fields today. And there's more to come just on the other side of this short break. My guest today has been a writer for years, and in fact is an award-winning author of eight or more books, contributing editor for Christianity Today, and we're talking about a book that she didn't want to write. And it was about a process that she didn't want to engage in. We're talking about Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers with Leslie Leland Fields, who has written this along with Dr. Jill Hubbard, the subtitle Finding Freedom from Hurt and Hate. And Leslie, we're just told a little bit about your story, this turning point phone call from your sister who says, I've forgiven Dad. You know, you dealing with anger and just kind of basically just he's not in my life, not paying any attention to him. I'm living happily with my family in Alaska. You're speaking and writing. And the one day you're reading the Lord's Prayer. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I was in church and you know, our church often says the Lord's Prayer, and so my head is bowed, my hands are folded, I'm being so pious and so holy and praying these words, you know, and then I get to, you know, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive our, and then what did I just say? My eyes popped open and I heard those words as if for the first time. I mean, how many hundreds of times have I said it? And suddenly, I thought of my father, forgive us. I'm asking God to forgive my sins with the same measure that I forgive those who have sinned against me. And suddenly, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. I knew that the Lord just really pressed upon my heart that my father, I had something to do. I had to turn back toward my father, and it was very clear I needed to forgive him, and that really began the path back. And it's important to say, Neil, that you know I think that moment of recognition is important. Everyone needs to come to that. But I'm not promising people that hey, this is simple. Hey, this is really easy. You know, snap your fingers, you turn around, you suddenly have love for this parent who has used and abused you, and it's all magical, and God sprinkles fairy dust over it all. And you walk off hand in hand in the sunset. I mean, it's not necessarily simple. But God gives you the desire for it. That's what was extraordinary, is how God immediately turned my heart. And I knew I needed to forgive my father. And God, in many ways, did. He made it possible, and he made it easy in some ways by changing my heart.
But and the story would be wonderful if it ended there. Say, well, yes, this is, you know, God's design. There's been a heart change. You know, you've pursue forgiveness. But in fact, you did pursue forgiveness, and you were, in essence, kind of rebuffed. It didn't mean so, because that's the part where, you know, it seems like the anger really begins to smolder, perhaps.
Right. And here's what we expect, Neil. Here's what we expect. When we are obedient to God and obedient to His word, we do, it's just our human nature. We just expect that God's going to smooth the path before us and all is going to go well and all is going to end beautifully. Well, it didn't quite happen that way. I did, my father was living in Florida in a nursing home, and I made several trips back to be with him. And one trip I made back after he had a stroke. And so I was with him for 3 days in that rehab facility. And, you know, part of us really wants our father or our mother to apologize. We want them to be repentant. We want them to recognize what they have done and, you know, and confess to us, "I'm so sorry that I did this. I'm so sorry these things happened." But in reality, that only happens rarely. And that certainly didn't happen with my father. But something miraculous did happen, and that is I really wanted my father to love me. All of us have this father and mother hunger to be affirmed by our parents and to be, you know, told that they love us and they believe in us. And I was really hoping, really, really hoping to receive that from my father. And honestly, that never happened. He never really did affirm me. He never really did say, "I love you." You know, I was looking for that. It didn't come. But here is the miracle. And that was the miracle I was hoping for. But actually, God gave me a better miracle. And the better miracle was that my father never said that he loved me, and he never demonstrated that he loved me, but I got to love him. I got to love this man that I had no love for my entire life. And God gave me a real love for him. God gave me compassion for him. God gave me mercy for him. And I could see him just through different eyes rather than looking at him through the eyes of a hurt daughter. I got to look at him through the eyes of love, and I got to see how hurt he was. I got to see how much he had suffered in his life. And God just broke my heart with who he was and the life that he had lived and how difficult it was and how little love he himself had received. So there is a happy ending. There is a happy ending after all, and that is that I got to be obedient to God's word, and I got to love this man who didn't seem to love me back, but it was okay. I mean, it hurt. Yeah, that's the truth. It still hurt. But obeying God and loving him did bring a great sense of freedom and a great sense of joy. Just obedience to Christ does bring joy.
You quote Eugene Peterson in one of the chapters you're talking about. He describes it as training our spirits in compassion. You know, this ability to see our parents or whoever in through new eyes, and we see their weaknesses, feel empathy. But that's pretty emotionally draining, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's hard, but we just have to kind of grow up a little bit, you know, ourselves, and we have to come to the point in our life where we acknowledge our losses. You know, none of this, Neil, is about papering over the past and pretending, you know, that these things didn't happen in the past. A part of the forgiveness process, a necessary part, is first of all stopping and stop running from it. Stop being like Jonah and running from our stories and running from our past. Stop, face, acknowledge it, and confess. The sins that occurred, confess what was done to us. And we're not going to be able to turn toward the right without first acknowledging the wrong. So that's a really essential part to the beginning of this forgiveness process. And along the way, yeah, we get to train our spirits in compassion. And I think one way that we can do this is by practicing kindness. And to look beyond, to get to the place where we can look beyond our own needs to the needs and wounds of our parents. And, you know, Neil, I began to see my father as this old man whom no one loved, who was alone, lived in a nursing home. And my heart just broke for that. And yes, he had earned it. That was the fruit of his life, right? That he had no friends, that nobody came to visit him. You know, he had reaped what he had sown throughout his life. But there's no satisfaction in that. There's no satisfaction in fairness and justice. There is so much more satisfaction in mercy. In mercy instead of justice, in mercy instead of fairness. So I made that turn back to my father, and I began to see the wounds and the hurts of his own life. I asked him about his parents, and I began to understand him and understand why he was who he was and why he did what he did. And so I began with these small acts of mercy. I would send him a card, or I would call him on the phone. I would send him a gift for his birthday, and I found that there was a lot of joy in bringing joy to someone, even if at the time you're doing it, you may not even like that person very much, but you'll find your heart slowly inching outward toward that person. And if you're not careful, you may even find yourself loving that difficult father or mother.
It could happen. It did happen, in fact, and it's what we're talking about today. Leslie, we only got maybe a minute and a half or so before a break, but you've talked about justice and mercy. I wonder if you can just, you know, flesh that out for us a little bit more. What are the distinctives there between those two?
Well, you're giving me a minute and a half for
that. No, I know. That's not fair. Let's, here, why don't we just, we'll let you reflect on that, and we'll come back after the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, because I do want to follow up on that. You mentioned Jonah earlier, and, you know, one of the great lines in that story of Jonah is, you know, God asking him, do you have any right to be angry? And Jonah was pretty sure that he did. So we'll get to that, and if nothing else, we'll talk salmon fishing with Leslie Leland Fields. Leslie's award-winning author, and we're talking about this powerful book called "Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers," and its subtitle is "Finding Freedom from Hurt and Hate." And it's out from Thomas Nelson. She's co-author of Dr. Jill Hubbard, and at the end of each chapter, Dr. Hubbard has written some wonderful prompts and opportunities for you to sort of go a little deeper in that conversation. So we want to give Leslie a chance to do that as well. Love to have you join the conversation. By the way, we do have the copy that we're going to give away at the end of the hour, and would love to have you just sign up for that if you'd like to be in the drawing for that. It'd be a resource that perhaps could be life-changing for you, setting you on the path to experiencing forgiveness and grace and mercy in a fresh new way. Leslie is a writer, editor, national speaker, lives on Kodiak Island, Alaska, and she's written on subjects like the spirituality of food, on wilderness, commercial fishing, and parenting, and much more. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. If you'd like to drop us a note, you can go online, myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. We'll talk more with Leslie in just a moment. Stay tuned. Glad to have you listening to Connecting Faith today, dealing with a topic that maybe is one that's very close to you, or you might be even in the middle of. It's powerfully written by a very gifted writer, and I hope that if you've not read any of Leslie Leland Fields' articles or books that you would find them. You'll find them insightful and well-written, and we're thankful for the latest one that she's written, not necessarily because she wanted to. Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, the subtitle is Finding Freedom from Hurt and Hate. And these are questions that we're dealing with. What does the Bible say about forgiveness, and how do we honor those who act dishonorably toward us, and what does forgiveness look like in the lives of real parents and children, dealing with all those things. Leslie's a writer, editor, and national speaker, and part of the year a salmon fisherman, and she's joining us today from her home in Kodiak Island, Alaska. And Leslie, we were just before the break talking a little bit about justice and mercy, and I wanted you to maybe just talk a little bit about the differences between, because as you've related in the book a bit about the story of Jonah, I mean, there's a sense where, you know, we can all say, yes, we have a right to be angry. So let's talk about those two.
Yeah, justice and mercy. Yeah, it's so good. You know, justice is when we get what we've earned, you know, fair and square, we get what we've earned. And if we return to the story of Jonah, is a great story. I want to move us, though, to another story that I talk about in the book as well, a familiar story, the parable of the two masters, and because this is just a perfect illustration of really of who we are and who God is and this difference between justice and mercy. And that's when the servant is hauled in before the king, and this is a rotten guy, you know, or a rotten woman, whatever the gender here. But they owe the king, you know, they've been stealing from the king, and they owe him huge, massive debts. So large, never in a lifetime of work can those debts be repaid. Justice is the king looking down at that servant and saying, hey, buddy, you've been stealing from me, and you've been sinning, you've been stealing, you're robbing me blind. I'm going to throw you in the slammer for, you know, for the rest of your life, because this is a life sentence crime. And that's justice, right? Getting what he deserves. But of course, God is not that kind of a God. God looks down at him, and his heart breaks for this man or this woman, and he says, you can't repay. So you know what? I'm going to pay. I am going to pay your debts. That's mercy. That's mercy, and it's so undeserved in every way possible. And so that's us standing before a holy God with all of our sins and our crimes and our guilt, and God looks down and says, yeah, you deserve death, you deserve to be locked up forever for what you've done, but I love you. I'm going to erase all that. I want you to go out free. And so we run out of the presence of the king. And here's where the problem comes. We have received mercy. And that's now what we're supposed to do for the rest of our lives. We're supposed to run to the people who owe us. We're supposed to run to them and say, I forgive you. You owe me all of this. It's okay. I've been forgiven all my debts. I'm going to forgive you of all your debts. But that's the opposite of what this guy did, right? He ran to the first person he thought of who owed him money. And the amount that he owed him was just this piddling little amount. You know, when he grabs him by the neck and he says, hey, you owe me. And, you know, Neil, I saw myself as that person. I saw myself as the one who runs out of the presence of God, free. I had received not justice, but mercy, incredible mercy. And then I ran to my father, grabbed him by the neck, and said to him, you owe me. You owe me all of these debts because you were a lousy father. And I realized, no. I have received mercy upon mercy. Now let me extend the same mercy to my father.
Leslie, how do we experience, you know, finding freedom if the offending party is, you know, one or both parents has passed on? I mean, how do we deal with that?
Yeah, and of course that's the case for many people, you know, they and people feel hopeless and sad, like, oh, great, you're talking about forgiveness of my parents, but they're gone. There's nothing I can do. It's over. But you know what? It's not over. It really isn't over. I think that forgiveness is so powerful that it can move backward in time. I think we can still forgive a parent who has passed because in many ways they are alive in our memories. You know, we when we hear their voice in our head, when we remember a hurtful action, we have a choice to make. Then, just as now with parents who are living, we have a choice to make. We can choose to be wounded and angry all over again, even with the memory of what they have said and what they have done. Or we can see their actions through that fuller lens, the fuller lens of the gospel, the fuller lens of understanding and mercy, and forgive them again and let the offense go. And as many times as we remember, as many times as that memory comes back, we can choose to forgive. Now, forgiveness does not erase the past, Neil, and it's important to do that. We have this cliche, you know, forgive and forget. Forgiveness does not erase the past, but it can eventually, it can diminish the hurt of the past, and it can diminish the power of the past over us.
I like, thank you. Let's see if I can find it. You quote Lewis Smedes in there about, you know, forgiving does not erase the bitter past. Instead, forgiving what we cannot forget creates a new way to remember. We change the memory of our past into a hope for our future.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Let's take a call from Linda. Linda is listening in Minneapolis. And Linda, you have a story, perhaps something similar. Go ahead. You're on with Leslie Fields.
Yeah, I had forgiven my, when I became a Christian, I had forgiven my dad and other people that have hurt me. And last year, on my 49th birthday, before my dad died, I got to tell him I forgive him. And he didn't say anything, but before that, he was always telling me he loved me. And I felt like I grew a love for him. And like you guys are saying, and you can have freedom from it, but it just, it's amazing feeling and such a peaceful area to be.
Yeah, to know that you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I Linda, thank you for sharing that. And I hear it. I hear the joy in your voice. And it's not that there isn't some kind of pain still there. You know, there's still a little bit of pain there, but just what a beautiful, marvelous resolution that God brought both to you and to your father. And that's the thing that we're not even talking about here, Neil, is that blessing, you know, blessing and forgiving a hurtful parent not only brings all of the, you know, this brings joy and peace to you, but it brings blessing to that person, you know? And what is more wonderful than that, to bring joy and blessing to someone who is in desperate need of it?
It, you know, somehow I guess we think that there has to be reciprocity, right? I mean, that, you know, we have to hear...
Yeah.
If we say I forgive you, we want to be acknowledged somehow, and if that doesn't happen, it feels like the equation's not complete.
Yeah, we want it to go two ways, and I think that's fine to hope for that, but it's really important that we don't make our forgiveness contingent on the other person's response. If we do that, and there are a few people who really do hold that view, that we cannot forgive, we should not forgive until the other person repents. I don't think that's biblical forgiveness. I really don't. God struck the debt of that servant before the servant's response. That was God's immediate response, and that needs to be ours as well. And if someone repents, how wonderful, how wonderful. But don't hold your breath waiting for it. You are the one who has received the mercy of God. You are the one who has that gift to offer.
Well, I always appreciate writers who quote great writers, and Leslie, you've done that, but just the line from C.S. Lewis, the beginning of talking about the heart of forgiveness at the beginning of that chapter, you said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And that, man, we need to hear that, you know, not just let the words of the Lord's Prayer sort of float by us time and time again, do we?
Right. Yeah, and it's very important that we see who we are in the eyes of God. And we don't want to see ourselves as that guilty thief servant hauled before the king. You know, we think that's other people, but you know what? God is, that story is in the scriptures because that's our identity. That's who we are before God. And so forgiveness starts with this kind of humility to recognize, wow, that's who I was. That's who I am before God. This really guilty, this incredibly guilty person. And so forgiveness is not, it's never a position of superiority. It's always a position of humility.
We're going to take a short break and continue our conversation with Leslie Leland Fields, award-winning author, contributing editor for Christianity Today. In fact, you can find a little summary of the book in a recent CT. Was it a couple months ago, maybe? At the article about the book from Forgiving Our Fathers, Leslie, was that?
I'm sorry.
Was the CT article?
Yes, that was in that ran in May. That was the cover story.
Yes, you can check that out. But I recommend you getting a copy of the book as well to really dig into this and find some hope and some healing and forgiveness. Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers is the title of the book from Leslie Leland Fields, and we'll continue our conversation with her in just a moment. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Talking today about the issue of forgiveness, forgiving our fathers and mothers. It's a powerful story, and Leslie Leland Fields sharing very openly about her own experience and the pursuit of finding freedom from hurt and hate. That's the subtitle of the book. It's published by Thomas Nelson. Leslie is an award-winning author, and she's a writer, editor, national speaker. In fact, hosts a in addition to their family commercial salmon fishing operation, she also leads the Harvester Island Wilderness Workshop. It's a week-long writing workshop held each September on her remote fishing camp island. I'm guessing that probably by September in the Gulf of Alaska, you can get some some cold and bitter winds that you probably want to just stay in by the fire and write. Huh?
Yeah, you know, in fact, that's right. My workshop starts the end of this week. I've got people flying in from all over the country, and I'm always hoping and praying, Lord, please, you know, calm the wind, because we fly out in bush planes, and it is a great adventure for everybody, and most people have never been in the Alaskan wilderness. And so for a bunch of Christians to gather together around the Word of God and our own words and to be right there in the midst of just stunning beauty, it's just, yeah, it's fantastic.
And just, I guess, a little side note, was living on a remote island in the Gulf of Alaska something you always wanted to do as a child? you couldn't wait to get the L.L. Bean catalog every week, or what?
You know, honestly, it's a light question, and I'm going to answer it with a heavy answer. Honestly, my life at home was really, really difficult, and I think I wanted to go far away. I think I just really wanted to go far away, and I couldn't imagine a future and a life in the place that I was living, in even that whole area of the country. I couldn't see myself living and prospering. I had this deep sense of wanting to go far, far away. And I just happened to fall in love with a fisherman from Alaska. So that worked out great.
Well, you know, Leslie, you talked about, you know, this group of writers coming here in just a few days, and that there's, you know, that's a great, it becomes a wonderful camaraderie. I'm wondering, in this whole process of dealing with maybe forgiving adults or, you know, as adults to kind of work through this process, is it important to surround yourself with some sort of a support network that can really help you kind of handle the ups and downs of the emotions?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Neil. And I'm so glad that you asked that question. Yeah, this is the forgiveness process. It can be a lengthy process, and it's really important for people to not have expectations that forgiveness is snap your fingers, hey, this work is done. It is a process. It is a journey, and it's hard. It's hard to walk that road alone. So it is really important to have at least one trusted friend with whom you can confide and pray and be with, and more than one is even better, some kind of support network. And that may include, for some people, their background is so difficult and so traumatic that they shouldn't even return to those memories alone. And I would recommend seeking out a Christian counselor or a therapist or a pastor or someone in leadership position at their church. It can be this turn to the past, it can be unsettling and destabilizing for some people. So gather some good, strong Christian friends around you. And I can't tell you the strength that comes from that. And of course, the Holy Spirit is there. You know, you're not going to be doing this alone. The Holy Spirit is there within you. You've got your church body. So there's so many ways that God strengthens us to be obedient to Him.
And we just we have to come to that place, don't we? We can't not forgive, right? I mean, it's just there's no hope there.
No, we can't not forgive, and we kind of soft sell this, Neil. But the fact of the matter is that God commands us to forgive. He requires us to forgive. So we really must obey. And I want to say, we think that the cost of forgiving is too high. We feel like, oh, I can't do that. You know, it's going to cost me too much. But I have to say, the cost of not forgiving is so much higher. Is so much higher. The cost of not forgiving, it's going to extract a price from ourselves. It's going to extract a price from the ones that we need to forgive, and even to the world at large. See, when we do not obey God's command to forgive, we are losing the chance to heal what Gregory Jones calls the universal disaster of sinful brokenness. You know, we have a chance. Forgiveness begins to heal the universal brokenness that we see all around us. And when we're stuck in that brokenness, we become bitter and we lose parts of ourselves to anger and to hurt. And we often close down that whole part of our heart to the gospel, you know, to the light and the freedom of Christ. And we end up being so busy trying to extract from our parents what they owe us. We just shrink. We shrink as people. And that's not what God desires for us. God desires a full, abundant life that where we are so empowered by His love that we even can love our enemies.
So, Leslie, can you look back, sort of see pre-Leslie Fields to current Leslie Fields? I mean, is there a, in terms of your own, maybe how you relate to your husband, your kids?
Yes. Absolutely. And I see the difference in myself.
In what ways?
Well, and forgiving my father really softened my heart. You know, I thought it was just a little corner of my heart that was all raggedy. And no, it was a lot more than a corner of my heart. It was a much bigger part of my heart. And it just opened up my whole heart and made me so much more willing to be vulnerable, so much more willing to take risks and loving other people. And I am engaged in some relationships right now that have been very difficult and very hurtful. But I tell you what, forgiving my father has taught me and shown me that it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to risk my heart. God has made me stronger. He has made me wiser. He has given me so much more love, even for those people right now who are who really are hurting me.
And it maybe ties in because Tammy had called in with a question and said, you know, talking about if your parents or parent is still living, but you're having a hard time building a relationship. Any thoughts about maybe how we build relationship with those, parents or others that, you know, we have maybe strained relationships in the past?
Yeah. You know, I would say we talked about training our spirits in compassion, and I think this goes back to that again. And I think we start with small acts of mercy, and we start by trying to see that parent again, try to see their life a little more objectively, try to recognize that they're not just your father or not just your mother, they're a human being too. And they have been hurt and wounded probably in so many more ways than we even know. But try to find out more about your parent, this parent that's hurting you. Try to find out a little bit more about their past and begin by extending small acts of mercy. Maybe it's just a card at a birthday time. Maybe it's just a quick call to say, "Hi, Mom. I know things are a little difficult between us right now, but I just want to say I'm thinking about you, and I love you, and I'm hoping the best for you, and hopefully we can talk more later." Just start with these small acts of mercy. And what person doesn't want to be loved on? And this is what I've seen, is even people who are really, really hard to love, they still desperately need love. And God can provide that love so that we can pour it out upon them.
I mean, it's quite possible, too, that we don't really have an accurate assessment of what, of the parent that or the person that has wronged us, right? We don't know the stories.
We really don't know the story. And I think it behooves us to try to find out some of that story. And that's what I did with my father. I went on a trip to visit his brother. He was only the only living relative left. And I found out some more about his background, because he never talked about his life. And that was incredibly valuable, incredibly important. So that's another way that you can start that forgiveness process. Start to ask around, find out some more about who your parent was as a child, who they were as a young person, and try to see them as the vulnerable child that they once were.
Well, I know, Leslie, this hasn't been an easy journey for you in terms of writing this, and your vulnerability is very powerfully portrayed in the book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. And so thank you for your willingness to do that and really providing some hope and some healing for those that hear us today and those that read the book.
Well, thanks so much, Neil, for the chance to, you know, it's really about talking about the gospel and talking about the Lord, and that's always a joyous topic. And I just want to encourage anyone out there who's listening, who feels maybe overwhelmed or feels like, "Oh, I can't do this." You know what? You can't do it, but God can do it. God really can do it through you. All you have to do is be willing and say, "Yes, please, Lord, open my heart and give me the strength and courage to make this first step."
Well, Leslie, I know you're writing regularly and blog at LeslieLelandFields.com, right? So.
Yes, that's right. That's right. If you just Google my name, you can go to my website and see lots of photos. And right now I've got a great video of whales that surfaced right next to our boat a little while ago. Pretty exciting stuff. So they can get a good look at what my life in Alaska is like.
Yeah, so, you know, actually, even if you don't read any of your writings, just looking at the pictures will be inspiring, I think. So they were for me anyway, so I enjoyed it. Leslie, any favorite secrets to good salmon recipe?
Oh, boy. Yeah, don't cover up the salmon too much. I mean, don't do too much to it.
Okay.
Really is the thing. The salmon has such a beautiful, subtle flavor. And, you know, don't overcook it. Keep it as moist as possible. And my favorite way is just to, you know, we literally, like, walk the salmon from the boat up to the beach. And I steak it out and just a little bit of butter and garlic and a little bit of pepper.
We gotta
it on the grill.
We got to go, but that does sound good. Leslie Lindenfield's our guest today on Connecting Faith.